And now, a digital moment for Digital Church with Digital Bread. Brought to you by Charmin and the Unicorn Company.
Hey Northridge, Digital Brad here, kicking off our very first digital-only church service. Good to see you. Actually, I can't see you in my eyes. They're animated. But I just want you to know I had some random thoughts that I wanted to share with you. So bear with me, okay? For instance, riddle me this. If a service is just online, are the greeters still smiling? Hey, have you thought about this? It'll be the first time in months that we haven't had a traffic jam in the parking lot. Digital only. Good news, we have a new dress code this week. PJs. P.S., don't get used to it. Hey, if you can, try to sit on the north ridge of your couch today. It's the right thing to do. This week, coffee's on you, for once. This whole experience is like when the Von Trapp family singers won first prize at the end of Sound of Music, but literally the exact opposite, as in, the whole audience didn't show. This week's talk, and this is on me, should have been called Echo. Get it?
Get it? Get it? Get it? Get it?
Think about this. On the bright side, this week, no one will see you leave early during the prayer. You know who you are, and so do I. And on the not so bright side, you're going to have to watch your own children. And lastly, this just in, right now, we can only accept online and text giving, because hashtag you gone.
This has been a digital moment for Digital Church with Digital Bread.
Hey, Northridge family. Thanks so much for joining us on this weird expression of getting together. But I've been walking around this very empty and lonely building without you, and so I actually asked Lincoln to keep me company, and I hope you have family and loved ones with you or a beautiful pet like Lincoln, and I'm just glad you've joined together with us. And I, right up front, I have to thank Digital Brad for starting the service. Wasn't that a lot of fun? But now it's Live Brad, and I do mean live. We are live at the 1116, and if you're on live streaming on the website or on YouTube, welcome. If you're on Facebook Live, so glad you're a part of it. In fact, I want to encourage you guys, take pictures of yourself wherever you're at and who you're with, and then post them so that we can really do this together and share in this digital experience. And I want to thank the team. I hope you're grateful for the team that God's given us. As soon as we suspended the services, we all scrapped the service that we'd been planning for months, and we put together something that we thought would be more relevant, encouraging, and uplifting for you in this season. In fact, it's kind of important. We wanted it to be the living room experience that you're having, and so I hope that God uses it to encourage your life. And you can see what the team did behind me. Our new series is Life in Pieces. I think it's very descriptive and very, very relevant. But here's what I'm grateful for. Though we can't be together in this place, though you can't be here with us, we really can be there with you. We're with you right now, live, together, in Jesus' name. And so as we kick this new series off, you ready? We're ready? Here we go.
Thank you. to come some trouble to your life, but that ain't nothing to be afraid of. There's bound to come some trouble to your life, but that ain't no reason to fear. I know there's bound to come some trouble to your life. Reach out to Jesus, hold on tight. He's been there before and he knows what it's like, and you'll find he's there. There's bound to come some tears up in your eyes, but that ain't nothing to be ashamed of. I know there's bound to come some tears up in your eyes, but that ain't no reason to fear. I know there's bound to come some tears up in your eyes. Reach out to Jesus, hold on tight. He's been there before and he knows what it's like, and you find he's there. Now people say maybe things will get better. People say maybe it won't be long. And people say maybe you'll wake up tomorrow and it'll all be gone. But I only know that maybe there's bound to come some trouble to your life, but that ain't nothing to be afraid of. I know there's bound to come some tears up in your eyes, but that ain't no reason to fear. I know there's bound to come some trouble to your life. Reach out to Jesus, hold on tight. He's been there before and he knows what it's like, and you'll find he's there.
Evan and Eric, I want to thank you personally and on behalf of the whole church family that's joined together right now. That couldn't speak to our experience right now more than anything I could imagine. It goes right to the heart of what I want to talk about. So thanks. And I'm really excited about the worship that we're going to experience with you and the team in a few minutes. In fact, Northridge, you're in for a real treat. It's like we're sitting around in a living room together as a church family. Wherever you are, I hope you see it that way. And we're going to worship. And I hope that you'll actively engage it. It's going to come later in the service. Then we're going to pray together. So, and Evan and Eric, thank you for following the CDC rules. As you can see, everybody, we're more than 3 feet apart. So he's saying, stay away from me. That's exactly right. All right. So, but I really do want to thank each and every one of you who are joining together with us, that you're not allowing the isolation that comes with not being in the same building to keep us from being what Jesus wants us to be, gathered in his name. And I have to tell you, we chose this new series, Life in Pieces, way back before we could fully understand how relevant it would be in this moment today. I mean, think about it. I'm sitting here in an empty auditorium in front of a camera, and you are sitting in front of an iPad or a computer or a TV and with the few people you're with. And I have to tell you, I'm absolutely amazed at how God can plan a series long before we understand what he has in mind. Because we're living in a world where all the pieces of life are crumbled around. Isn't it kind of like the world's falling apart a little bit right now? couple days ago, I was talking to one of my daughters on the phone, and she actually said, "Dad, it's like the Walking Dead." And my son grabbed onto that thing and sent us all a picture. We have a group thread that's called Original Five, and he sent us the picture you're seeing right now, and I thought it was pretty cool. "Hey, I'm going to the store. Anything you want?" It's just absolutely hilarious, but boy, it's not a hilarious time. I love how Evan introduced the whole service. He said, "We're going to experience some trouble sometime, and right now, we're experiencing significant trouble." And we have to be honest, it's causing panic and fear. There's some real suffering with people economically and with the kids out of school and all the challenges it's bringing. We're experiencing losses and really experiencing uncertainty. But as I thought about it, it's hard for me to envision what the picture of our future is going to be like, isn't it for you? How is this going to turn out? What's really going to happen? And often, if you can't envision the picture, that's what brings the panic and fear. But here's what I really want you to know as we contemplate God and how He can encourage our lives in this moment. Overcoming the fear and the hardship and the suffering and the uncertainty doesn't demand that we can ultimately envision the picture of our future. It doesn't demand that we know how things are going to turn out and what the results are going to be in our life. Overcoming fear only demands that we can envision God and that we can understand who He is and we can know that He's right there with us. That's the key. It requires having His picture in our mind and keeping our eyes on Him. In fact, I want to share with you a passage that's really been helping me process this in my own personal journey. Psalm 16:8. The psalmist says, "I keep my eyes always, always on the Lord. And with Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." That's what I'm hoping that each and every one of us and all of our families can truly experience, that with God's presence with us, we will not be shaken. And I think there's a reason for that. You see, when we keep our eyes on God, what happens is we understand that no matter what's going on in our world, God is with us. God is working. God isn't surprised by the circumstances, and God is bigger than anything we face. And in the end, God is planning to bring unbelievable good out of this unbelievable mess that we're experiencing. The Bible's clear on this. Jesus was teaching in John 16:33, "I've told you these things so that in me," not in the world, not in your circumstances, not in the safety of things being like they're supposed to be, but "in me, you can have peace." And then He admits it. It's no surprise. "In this world, you will have trouble. There's bound to be some trouble." Jesus made it clear, but we can take heart, He says, "I have overcome the world." He's not surprised, and He's bigger than what we're experiencing right now. And then in Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose." God is going to work good out of this experience that we're having right now. So what I thought I would do is just guide us in a conversation that would help us deal with the realities that we're facing right now. And I want to encourage you, and I want to give you some strength, some things to hang on and weave into the fabric of your life in this season. And I think it's first important to point out the problem that we all have. And I want you to know, it's a problem I have. And I'm sure it's a problem you're wrestling with and those around you are as well. And the problem is this: we end up living in fear and insecurity, disappointment, and ultimately experiencing failure because of this. Because we don't recognize or experience God's presence in the midst of life's difficult circumstances. You know, it's easy to kind of float along and the current and of our culture when things are okay, but when a disruption like this happens, man, fear and insecurity and uncertainty and failure. It creeps in, and it's because we forget, though the circumstances are changing, God isn't. We fail to experience Him in life's worst. And that's what I want to encourage you to do now. In fact, here's the truth that I want to share with you. When we recognize and experience God's presence, everything changes. We get to experience the life we long for. We remain strong when we experience His presence. We remain faithful. We don't wander and fall away. In fact, we remain at peace. Even in a turbulent world, we remain at peace when we recognize His presence. And that's true no matter what happens to us. No matter how badly the world is falling apart around us, we can be at peace. And that's what I long for me and my family. That's what I long for you. And one of the Psalms that has been rotating around in my heart and my head is Psalm 46. In fact, you need to know, we had the series planned, and boy, God understood what it was going to be, Life in Pieces. But I wrote an original talk for this weekend on satisfaction, and can't imagine it being more relevant. So God knew it was coming, but I didn't. So I scrapped that talk, and I was thinking of three other areas I could go into in conversation. I actually wrote two more talks, but I couldn't get past Psalm 46. When I had to make the hard and difficult announcement that we were going to suspend services, I actually talked about Psalm 46, and I just decided I'm going to walk through this psalm for encouragement for all of us, for strength in this season. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Can you think of a passage more relevant? God is a place we can hide, a place of refuge, a place we can get strength, and He's an ever-present help in moments like this, in trouble. Whatever you're experiencing right now, whatever you're going through, God is right there. He's present, and He can be your refuge and strength. And you need to know this is true in all times, even in these times. Look at verses 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear, because God is present, even in trouble. We won't do what comes naturally. We will not fear. In fact, we won't fear because God is present. Though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, and I'm hoping you get the picture. I mean, when every single dependable structure and foundation in the world that we depend on starts collapsing and caving and disappearing around us, we still don't have to fear because those aren't our foundation in the end anyway. God is our only foundation, and He hasn't gone anywhere, and He hasn't changed, and He's not surprised. Where God is, there's nothing to fear. Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Where His presence is, there's this river flowing through it. Where God is, there's always provision. Always peace, always gladness. Verse 5, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. It's really an allusion to Jerusalem, God's city, Zion. And the interesting thing is Jerusalem ultimately fell. But the only reason Jerusalem fell is because the residents of Jerusalem denied God. They pushed them out of their lives. They pushed them out of their city. And as a result, there wasn't the strength to keep this city safe. But when someone understood and kept God within her, like Hezekiah, it didn't matter the unbelievable superpowers coming against them. They could stand. And the same is true with us. When God's within us, it doesn't matter the pressure and gravity that we're experiencing on the outside. We can stand. Look at verse 6. Nations are in uproar. Talk about relevant. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The world can be absolutely out of control, but God's bigger than the world that's out of control, and He's in control. He can overcome, conquer any power, any enemy. He can sustain us in any circumstance. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our economy's not our protection. Our culture's not our protection. Our provisions and comfort aren't our protection. God is, and He's the one that's almighty. The Lord Almighty is with us. That means we have a fortress and a refuge. This God is in control. And what I love about this is Jesus told us that this God never leaves us or forsakes us. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, I'm with you always. Wherever you are right now, you need to know, whether you feel isolated, fear, or panic, or whatever's going on in your life, Jesus is with you, which means you don't have to fear. Look at verses 8 and 9. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations He's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He's the one that can conquer this and help us to stand as conquerors during it. But how do we remember He's present? By coming and seeing what the Lord has done. One of the great benefits of the Bible is that we're able to go back and see story after story after story of where they suffered trouble, but how when they reached out to Jesus and held on tight, they were able to overcome it. And that's what we need to do. Come and see what the Lord has done. Don't forget. Now, the application to our lives, I think, is where it really gets important. And I have to tell you, I'm working on this too. It's not like I'm totally above and boy, looking down at you guys suffering. It's like all of us are in the same turmoil, me as well. But if Psalm 46 is really going to help us, then we have to apply it to our lives. And here's the way I'm thinking about it. If we're going to experience God's best, even in the midst of our world's mess, then we need to follow what Psalm 46 teaches us. And here's the first thing. If we're going to experience God's best right now, then we need to stop struggling on our own. And that's really where the fear and the uncertainty and the panic comes from. It's like, we've got to solve the problems. The people who are rushing Costco for toilet paper think they have to control their situation. As, come on, it's ridiculous. Nothing wrong with getting provisions. Maybe something wrong with going crazy like that, but stop struggling on your own. Look at what Psalm 46 verse 10 says. This is the prescription. Be still and know that I am God. Come on, we have to stop struggling. I want to give you the best picture I can right now that will really help you. It helps me. By my side right here is Lincoln, you know, my dog. And I look at him. Could he be more comfortable? Here's the thing. He's by his master. He's by me, and he has not one worry. He doesn't care what's going on around the world. He's not worried about one thing. And the truth is, this is how we're supposed to be with God, and it's what He meant when He said, be still and know that I am God. Here's the best advice. You need to realize that you can't, but God can. And when you really, really, really realize it, you will not fear. That's what this psalm is teaching. If we're going to experience God's best in the midst of this mess, then we need to acknowledge who and where God is. Who He is, bigger than this mess, the foundation of the entire world. And where is He? Right here. We have nothing to fear whatsoever. Look at verses 10 and 11. And know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As has always been and always will be, when all is said and done, He is with us and He wins. And if we're going to experience God's best in this season, in this moment, during this mess, then we need to entrust ourselves to Him. Truly entrust ourselves to Him. Like Lincoln with me, fully rest on His power, His presence, His provision, His promises. And for me, I have to kind of get specific. What does it mean to entrust myself to Him? What does it mean for you to entrust yourself to Him? Well, first, you have to let Him in. I mean, Psalm 46, verse 5, God is within her. She will not fall. We have every reason to fear and every reason to panic and every reason to be uncertain and doubt and filled with anxiety if God's not in us, but we have no reason if God is. But for God to be in us, we have to make that choice. And I know a lot of you have followed Jesus for a long time, but you know, to Jesus' followers, Jesus one time showed up and said, "Behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, and if you open the door, I'll come back in." And it's so possible for us to push Jesus to the outside, to push him to the periphery of our lives. And when we do, we find ourselves caving on the inside. I know I do. Won't you let him in? And the truth is, I know, and I'm so grateful we have some of you here and all around the world participating in this conversation right now. But some of you have never let him in. I mean, you recognize maybe that he's out there somewhere. You recognize that he might be working, but you don't experience him inside. And I just want to give you the chance before we move into worship in this season of prayer. Would you just bow with me in a word of prayer for a moment? And if you're here and you're saying, "Man, I've never let him in. He's knocking." Take my words in this prayer and make them yours. Just say in your heart, "Jesus, I need you on the inside of me. I'm hearing your knock right now, and I'm opening my life to you, and by faith, I'm trusting your promise. I'm asking you to forgive me for my sin. I confess it. I'm trusting that your death on the cross can take my sin away, and I'm putting my faith in your resurrection to give me new life, and now come into me, fill me up, and remove the fear. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, I just want to encourage you, if you prayed with me that way, to let us know. You can see on the bottom of your screen how to do it, but we'd love to share with you next steps that you can take. So let us know that God's doing something in your life right now. But if we're going to really entrust ourselves to the Father, then once we let him in, then we need to stay focused on him. And the truth is, when the cacophony of sound gets crazy loud, like it is with the 24/7 panic obsession on the virus we're now facing, it's so easy to start focusing on that instead of focusing on him. I just want to encourage you, do everything you can to stay focused on him. Look at Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Focus on him. Focus on him. And finally, if we're going to entrust ourselves in him, we have to believe him above what we see and what we feel. The feelings you have are real, of fear and uncertainty and doubt and wondering what's going to happen. Those feelings are real, but more important is believing what God has said and that he's with you. So I want to read again verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 46. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear." Whatever reality you're facing in your life this moment, God is greater than that reality. Can I say that again? God is greater than your trouble. It's true. Life can get unbelievably messy at times. We're bound to experience some trouble. But it doesn't have to shake us. If we reach out to Jesus and hold on tight and keep our eyes on him. And now as we get ready to worship, I want you to know that I'll be back in a minute to actually guide you through an important prayer that can help us deal with this season and hopefully help people around the world. But as we worship, please don't forget Psalm 16:8. It says, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken."
Surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. At your name, Jesus, you make the darkness. flesh tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again, I will praise, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, lift your voice and sing his name.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, yeah. Jesus, Jesus, make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifts you high. Your name cannot be overcome. Come on, we sing. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome.
Don't worry, we will worship you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus.
one who has the power to heal, deliver, set free, protect. We look to you, God. We put our hope and our trust in you. Won't you sing with us?
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Of love and a sound mind, and we celebrate that.
God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, for you know just what to do.
I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for Jesus' promise that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And he didn't say if you're in the same space, the same building. He said if you're gathered together in his name, and we are right now. And so lose the sense of isolation and gain the sense of the community we have in Jesus' name. And that's how we can worship together. And I really want to encourage you during seasons of trouble like this. I believe that it's when what Jesus called us to be really becomes important. We're to be light in a world of darkness. And so if this special service has engaged you, encouraged you, and helped you, then don't let it die with this moment. I want to encourage you to share it. On our website, it's going to live on, and they can watch it on demand. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your coworkers. And on Facebook Live, you can share it. It's going to be there. Tell people about it, and the same with YouTube, because I don't want you to forget our mission. Our mission is to, yes, be awake to Jesus ourselves, but to wake the world up to Jesus, to let it pass through us. Yes, we need to experience his love and know his truth and be involved, but then we need to show it and tell it and involve others. And we're on mission. It's true we can't walk in the same building together, but Jesus is still building us in the same way into his church, and he wants us to shine brightly in the world. And to do that, we have to continue giving ourselves to the mission and continue to give in worship to him. I'm so grateful for all of you who make this mission go forward by realizing that what you have comes from God and by offering it as a sacrifice generously so that we can share Jesus around the world. And that mission continues. Just because we're not in the same space, in fact, it continues in a bigger way. There's more people to help. There's more to do. So I just want to encourage you to worship through giving. In a minute, on your screen will pop up all what kinds of ways you can. But I don't want you to get lost in the idea of giving. I want you to get lost in worship. He's present with you. He's here. Trust in him. So take these next few seconds and as a family or as an individual, spend time worshiping him, giving yourself to him again. And then I'll be back and we'll pray together. There's a passage in scripture that teaches us that because people abused what was supposed to happen in God's presence in the temple, Jesus got upset and turned over the tables, and really it was a crazy moment, but he said, remember, God's house is supposed to be a place of prayer, and I just want to remind you that when we gather together, the point is to remember that he's present, to give ourselves to him again, and there's no better way than prayer. And I just think to serve God in the right way and to serve humanity in the right way, the best thing we can do is through prayer seek to unleash God's grace in the world. And Jesus taught us how to pray. You know, he gave us the Lord's Prayer. And what I've done is I've tried to craft the Lord's Prayer this morning into a prayer that can be relevant and bring strength to our lives and to the world. And I want to guide you through it like Jesus guided his disciples to pray. And so I'm going to pray through some things, and I'll let you know. I know you're alone, some of you, and I know that you're in a small group and it can be uncomfortable, but let's declare this prayer out loud. I'll say it and then you repeat it after me. And my small group is the worship team, and I'm so proud and grateful for them, and they're going to do it as well. And let's just start where Jesus started. He said, pray after this manner. Our Father in heaven.
Our Father in heaven.
And I don't know if you realize, but what he was giving to us was a declaration of faith. And so I'm going to declare some things in faith. And once I declare them, you declare them out loud as well, okay? The first thing is, Father, you are.
Father, you are.
Yeah, you are my Father.
You are my Father.
You are in heaven.
You are in heaven.
You are in control.
You are in control.
I have nothing to fear.
I have nothing to fear.
When we pray our Father in heaven, that's exactly what we're saying. You're here, Father. I don't have to fear. And then Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be your name.
And I think you know that it's a declaration to praise God for who he is, for his name. And I'm going to pray through a couple of acknowledgments, and I'm going to ask you to pray them out loud after I do it, okay? I acknowledge and praise you for being in control.
I acknowledge and praise you for being in control.
I acknowledge and praise you for being able.
I acknowledge and praise you for being able.
I acknowledge and praise you for providing.
I acknowledge and praise you for providing.
That your plan is perfect.
That your plan is perfect.
That your timing is perfect.
That your timing is perfect.
And I acknowledge and praise you because you see everything.
And I acknowledge and praise you because you see everything.
And he does.
Yes.
I want to encourage you right where you're at, all of your circumstances, all that you've yet to experience. He sees you. And you don't have to fear. Jesus went on and taught us to pray, your kingdom come.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
Your will be done.
And when he taught us to pray that way, he was saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I hope you'll say each of these, in my life.
In my life.
In the life of my loved ones.
In the life of my loved ones.
In our church.
In our church.
In our nation.
In our nation.
And in our world.
And in our world.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Make this declaration out loud and mean it in light of his presence, okay? We need you.
We need you.
Forgive us our debts.
Forgive us our debts.
As we forgive those who are our debtors.
As we forgive those who are our debtors.
Lead us not into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from the evil one.
But deliver us from the evil one.
For yours is the kingdom.
For yours is the kingdom.
And the power.
And the power.
And the glory.
And the glory.
Forever.
Forever.
And now, in your hearts, just join with me in the prayer that I'm going to offer to end our time together, okay? Father, help us today, this week, during this season. Give us the wisdom, direction, help, and strength we need in this time of trouble. That's our daily bread, but we don't just pray for ourselves. We pray for our leaders. Give them wisdom, direction, help, and strength. Father, as we go through all this trouble, help us to live in and for your kingdom, power, and glory, for everything worthwhile in life. Everything we're looking for in life is found only in you. Help us to live out the truth we've discussed this weekend. Help us to keep our eyes always on you, because with you at our right hand, we will not be shaken. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. No more appropriate time to do that ever. And I want to encourage you today. And I'm so proud to live in a country where this can happen. Our national leaders have declared it to be a national day of prayer. How awesome is that? And I just want to encourage you to take it beyond a day. I believe every day should be a prayer for our nation, for our leaders, for our church, for ourselves, for the people around the world. And I think we should pray through the Lord's Prayer together. In fact, I want to encourage you, let's together as a church family each day be on the same page praying through the Lord's Prayer for the circumstance. And I'd actually love to send you what I'm going to be praying through, just like I led you just now. And all you have to do, you can see it on the bottom of your screen, go to that link and check on it, and we'll email that to you. But we want to be praying what Jesus taught us to pray, because when we do, then we'll be like Jesus in this world, light and darkness. Remember, God is present. With him at our right hand, we don't have to be shaken. Live in faith and courage this week, and tell others about this service, and tell them about next week. Can't wait to get together again in Jesus' name then. Bye, everybody.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher, with power to save, with power to save.